We start at Cedar Ridge High School, where they were briefly under a soft lockdown this afternoon. It's after a social media post raised concerns of possible gun violence on campus. Orange County Schools and the Orange County Sheriff's Office released a joint statement earlier today saying there is no shooting threat in spite of a social media post that was making the rounds in the Cedar Ridge community. Investigators said the image in the post was from 2018 and was created by someone in New Mexico. You can find more details in the news article on chapelboro.com. In state news, the entire state continues to process the news from Raleigh yesterday, where State Representative Tricia Cotham made it official, changing her party affiliation from Democrat to Republican. That officially gives the GOP a veto-proof supermajority in both houses of the General Assembly. Cotham says she's not planning to change her voting behavior, but GOP lawmakers seem excited anyway. They filed a flurry of bills this week targeting transgender students. Back locally, the Durham County School Board is holding a budget work session this evening beginning at 5 o'clock, so they just got underway. Down in Pittsboro, the Board of Commissioners had an all-day budget retreat. They started today at 9 a.m. Staying down in Chatham County, as the county continues to grow, the county government is figuring out the best balance of demand for housing and development versus preserving natural and farmland. To help, the county is revising its farmland preservation plan, which was initially made back in 2009. As part of that, they're surveying local farmers, agribusiness owners, and community members to get their perspective on what's important to them. Chair of the County Commissioners, Karen Howard, spoke with me earlier in the week about the farmland preservation plan. She said the county's goal is to build a picture of what to preserve versus what to develop. And she also talked about why it's important for people to fill those surveys out.
Input from the people who are most directly affected and who are the experts in that space is really going to help guide how the plan evolves and what is the best plan. You know, there are a multitude of options that are going to reflect a lot of different communities, but what is the plan that would really reflect Chatham County and our intention to preserve agricultural land in a way that supports the farmers and access to agricultural land for us going forward? I've said this before and I'll say it again. Once you develop land, it never goes back. So to the extent that we can preserve our agricultural land so that we can have access to fresh fruit and vegetables, but also that farmers have access to markets is critical now. In a rapidly growing community where the demand for land for, you know, the highest and best use to us might not always be the highest and best use for the landowner. So we really need to get our heads around how we can take steps now to ensure that we have access to agricultural land for a long time.
That's Chatham County Commissioner Karen Howard speaking there. You can find the full conversation on chapelboro.com, and you can find the Farmland Preservation Plan survey on the Chatham County Government website. They'll be taking responses through May 31st. After nearly 3 years of offering PCR tests for COVID-19, the Orange County Health Department has officially halted its testing services. 1 week ago, the final test was administered at the Southern Human Services Center in Chapel Hill. The county continues to transition to this new era of responding to the virus. 97.9 The Hill's Brighton McConnell has the details and what health experts are saying is the latest advice.
For many of us, COVID-19 may largely be an afterthought. With the prevalence of vaccines, tests, and new research, spread of the virus's mutations is slower. For Mike DeFranco, however, thinking about COVID and the next steps of responding to this stage of the pandemic is his job. As the Communicable Disease Coordinator for Orange County, he says it's key to remember new cases do happen each day.
It's always there. We're always aware of it. And I guess also just eagerly anticipating, what is this going to look like moving through the summer into the fall? What are the new practices, recommendations, reporting duties? All of this, it just seems like it's just this constant evolving process.
Part of that process is balancing the county's COVID-19 resources against the demands and the necessity for them. While the twice-weekly testing through the county government is now wrapped up, DeFranco says Orange County Health Department does still offer free at-home test kits for residents.
I still like the idea of having access to testing. It's unfortunate that it's always money that seems to be a curtailing aspect of it. but we still have reliable and very decent at-home antigen testing, I think then the onus is on us and other health communities to ensure that individuals in the community understand the best way to manage and to utilize these home tests.
DeFranco was one of the members of Orange County's strike team that built a local response to the pandemic during its earliest waves. The area is long removed from the peak of demand in the county for COVID tests, with DeFranco saying there were some days health workers tested between 150 to 200 people at designated sites. The disease expert says the subsequent research and latest COVID-19 trends are all encouraging compared to those early days. Although he says it's fair to speculate whether there are more cases than reported due to at-home tests, society's protocol for staying home with symptoms makes a difference in how often the county's resources are required.
Looking back, it was just, I feel like, so much to be done at the beginning. And now, if you put it on the time spectrum and looking at March and April of 2023 and kind of like the finale, so to speak, of this very open, wide community testing, it gradually, over the past 6 months, it's definitely started to kind of like shrink.
Mitigation efforts and preventative steps are still critical, though, according to the Orange County Health Department. The state government reports Orange County still tracks as one of the communities with the highest vaccination rates. 79% of the population reports having an initial series of shots, and 77% of that group got at least one booster shot. But as seen last winter, COVID-19 cases will likely rise and fall based on the weather and new mutations. DeFranco says the county is also continuing to scale back its vaccine services, but only for walk-in appointments. Friday, April 14th will be the last day to get a COVID-19 vaccine at the Southern Human Services Center before those services are transitioned into those offered at the Orange County Health Department's main location.
So that will continue. Exactly what the formulation is a big question. There's still a lot of like hurry up and wait. So we're waiting to find out what this looks like, as well as the commercialization, because it sounds like the federal government is also going to be getting out of the vaccine business, so to speak. So what will this look like?
While that guidance and broader response to ongoing COVID-19 will continue to change, DeFranco said one mitigation step is still tried and true: masking when you're experiencing symptoms. He said more research will lead to more advancement, but wearing a mask will continue to be a way to limit spread if sick residents can't stay home.
Masking still matters. If you're not feeling well and you need to go out into a public arena, it's like you, by putting a mask on you, the single individual who's not feeling necessarily tip-top and A-OK, you're being a great steward towards your community and in protecting.
You can find past coverage of Orange County's COVID-19 testing efforts on chapelboro.com. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Brighton McConnell.
Thank you, Brighton. A couple other quick notes here for the good of the group. One, if you know any artists who are in high school in the 4th District, Congresswoman Valerie Fouché would like you to know that she's now accepting applications for artwork to be displayed in the U.S. Capitol. And you can find more info about that from Valerie Fouché's Twitter page or her official page in Congress. And also happening the end of this week, tomorrow is Good Friday. And if you have students in Chatham County Schools, that means that spring break also starts tomorrow morning. If you don't have students in Chatham County Schools, you may still be affected as some businesses and government facilities are closed or have altered schedules. You can see a list of what services may be altered by visiting the news article on chapelboro.com. Time now to talk sports, and we start our sports conversation by talking about baseball, as we've got baseball coming up very shortly. Diamond Heels back in action tonight on the road at Georgia Tech. Game one of a three-game series. First pitch set for 6 o'clock, so we'll be sending you right over there after News on the Hill concludes. UNC goes in 6-4 in ACC play. They have won three consecutive series against ACC opponents, including Pitt, Duke, and Notre Dame. Here's head coach Scott Forbes on what it'll be like to face Georgia Tech on the road.
Just look at their record over the years at home. I mean, one of the best home teams in our conference. They're always going to hit. I've never played Georgia Tech where they can't hit. So you have to go down there. You have to play well. Just like I tell our guys, you know it's going to be harder. You know you're going to have a call go against you. There are going to be things you got to deal with. But it builds toughness, and the tougher teams are better on the road. And that's what you want to be. You want to be a good team that can compete and get it done on the road.
That's head baseball coach Scott Forbes speaking there. And again, action starts at 6 o'clock tonight against Georgia Tech. We'll get you over there for the start of that one right after News on the Hill wraps up. Also got the Durham Bulls in action tonight. They've won the first two games of a series at Jacksonville. Game three gets started tonight at 7. And also the top-ranked UNC women's tennis team is currently in action versus NC State. And they just got underway at 5 o'clock, so we don't have any results there yet. But if we get anything in before the end of the show, I will be certain to let you know. One last sports note, ESPN came out with their way too early top 25 rankings for men's basketball. Now they've done the women's side as well. Carolina is again present, number 24 on that poll. And that comes after losing Kennedy Todd Williams and Destiny Adams to the transfer portal. So things looking pretty good for next year still, in spite of those early departures.